Pastor Lauer from our Seder Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at this same time. Our Seder's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. During these times of pandemic, our regular services are indoors at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a parking lot service at 9:15. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service. Grace and peace to each of you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus starts many of his parables by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he goes on to tell us a story about the way that God works. We wouldn't need Jesus to tell us the way that God works, or the prophets in the Old Testament, or the apostles in the New Testament, to tell us how God works. If God worked like we do, then it would all make sense to us. People in this life ought to get what they deserve. That's the rule of fairness. And we know how that works. It doesn't always work, and many things in life are unfair. But if you have a huge debt to someone, you ought to repay it. And if you committed some crime, you ought to be punished. You need to have that in our sinful world, or the place is going to drop into craziness and chaos. What would happen if a banker forgave you, or anyone who just simply asked, all of their debts? What if a kid could go through school, never pass a single quiz or test, and yet, oh, that's fine, just get A's. Maybe that happens more than it should. But all the kids would come out of school not knowing anything. So in this world, we do rate each other. We do decide what people deserve, and life is at least supposed to follow that rule. So Jesus has a really difficult time, it seems, explaining to the disciples and to the crowds, even to the teachers of the Israelites, that that is not the way that God works. Peter thinks he's got it pretty well figured out, how God works. You know the old rule, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, and don't let anybody make a fool out of you three times. Peter says, how many times should I forgive my brother? As many as seven times? But he still hasn't gotten it. I think he's testing the Lord to see if this explanation is going to get him an attaboy. Good job, Peter. You're starting to understand. We still need to be fair to everybody, but we're going to give him more leeway. But that's not what Jesus is saying. And so Jesus, trying to teach this point, tells a parable. The parable is about a king, you heard it a few minutes ago, who wants to settle his debts. And a man comes before him who owes him 10,000 talents. I can't really explain to you how much a talent is. It's more like a year's salary. Now take that times 10,000. 10,000 years' salary? Maybe we'd think of that today as an unbelievable number like a billion or $10 billion. The point is, the debt is absolutely huge. And you really couldn't blame the king for wanting to collect on the debt, because he can do a lot of good with those funds. And yet, since the poor man throws himself on the king's mercy and asks for a little more time, the king knows full well that even a little bit more time is not going to help this man pay the debt. So what does he do? He forgives the poor fellow the debt entirely. Now, that's not the way things work in this world. At least not most of the time. Not with the government, not in schools, not in your employment. Trust me, your employer's watching how many days you're in work and how many days you're not. They're keeping count, counting beans. That's the way this world works. But that's not the way that God works. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? The son takes half of the father's wealth, goes off to a foreign land, blows it on wine, women, and song, as it were, and when the money's gone, he comes crawling back to dad, unlike pigs, because he'd been working feeding pigs. And he doesn't really want to be reinstated by his father. He just wants to be one of his father's employees, because he has nothing now, and dad's employees actually get paid rather well. But the father won't hear of it. The father's not going to take him in as an employee. The father doesn't seem to care at all that this young guy blew half of the family fortune. He goes and spends even more money on trinkets and a feast and fine clothes. Why? Because the most important thing to the father is not the money. The most important thing to the father is having his son back with him. That is how God views you. He cares about where you've been and what you've done, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing to your Heavenly Father is having you with Him in His eternal kingdom. And so he sends his son to earn our forgiveness because we could never earn forgiveness for ourselves. Even if you gave your life over as payment for your sins, it still wouldn't scratch the surface. Not to mention you'd be dead. And so God, knowing that we utterly cannot handle our debts, what we owe because of sin, simply forgives them. And he gives us that good news of forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation. Now, as I said, there's a place in this world where people have authority and responsibility to see that things are done fairly. And that's all well and good. But when it comes to matters between you and others that you don't have authority over, so like if you're a teacher and in the classroom you're supposed to keep grades, that's understandable. If you're a banker and you need to keep track of the loans, of course, do that. But when it comes to you and me, outside of those relationships, treat one another as God has treated you. By the law, not of fairness, but of love. Paul tells us that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love does not keep a record of wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love never ends. And it is by love that we are to treat one another, because it is by love that God has treated us. If we are vindictive in this life, if we deal with others on the basis solely of what they deserve, if we want others to be perfect and pay a penalty for every slip-up, we reveal that we don't understand who God is or how He works. Shows that we don't understand what true love from God is. And I think that, if not all of us, then maybe most of us, will experience something in our lives, some sin or trespass that is so great we now understand that we cannot take it back. We cannot undo it. You cannot pay back for what you've done. And it is then that we find the greatness of God's love. It is then that we learn what the love which comes from God truly is. It is not only undeserved, but it is precisely what we do not deserve. And to the world, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But to us who are being saved, it is wonderful beyond measure. Which are you? Are you still wondering what you must do? Or have you truly seen the immeasurable love of God which is yours through Jesus Christ our Lord? That's the good news. Amen. If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.